The idea that the river provides for some while taking away from others is an old one. And often it's not nature, but people who make the decisions about who wins and who loses. In 2011, historic floodwaters came down the river. To relieve pressure on the levees and decrease the inevitable damage, the Army Corps of Engineers decided to flood some less populated communities in order to protect other, often larger, towns. One of the communities that got flooded was Pinhook, Missouri.
It's a little town, mostly African-Americans, but some white people lived in the town, probably 50 to 75 residents, something like that.
Todd Lawrence co-wrote When They Broke the Levee, Race, Politics, and Community in Pinhook, Missouri. That part of southeast Missouri was mostly farmland, with maybe 100 homes spread across 100,000 acres. A flood control plan that had been on the books since the 1920s identified the farmland as an area that could be sacrificed to save nearby cities. But no one in Pinhook thought about that much until 2011. During his research, Todd collected oral histories from former Pinhook residents. One of them was Aretha Robinson.
And my son had called and said, "Mom, sit out." I said, "What's wrong?" Because I know when they say sit out or something. He said, "They done put a mandatory evacuation for Pinhook. They say they're going to blow the levee. That's the only way we knew to get out."
Engineers blasted a 2-mile-wide hole in the nearby levee.
It's built with pipes in it, and they filled those with liquid dynamite, and they set an explosion at 10:02 on May 2nd, 2011. People heard it, you know, echoing for miles and miles and miles. It's a massive, massive explosion to breach that levee. You know, you couldn't salvage anything. You just had to leave. And what was left in the town was destroyed.
Residents told Todd they weren't considered much in the court battles that tried to stop the breach.
It doesn't seem to us in our research that they really knew or acknowledged or recognized that there was a town in the spillway. The question for us is, how does a town disappear? How does a town become sort of made invisible?
He says natural disasters, climate change, and pollution often disproportionately hurt people of color and people with less political power.
I question whether, you know, race has something to do with this. It doesn't seem beyond possibility that they could have been, you know, ignored or overlooked because they were black people living in a rural place that was had already been, you know, in some ways devalued because it was not a city. It was not an urban space. It was a rural space. And then on top of that, black people were living there. So
he says environmental justice needs to be baked into policies around our rivers and environment. A final note on Pinhook. Because the levee breach was not an act of God, the people in Pinhook did not automatically qualify for federal help.
So for, you know, 6+ years after this has happened, they still haven't, not a nail's been driven, not a board's been cut to rebuild the houses that these people lost in 2011.
Todd Lawrence is co-author of When They Broke the Levee. He says among the people he spoke with, there's some anger and lots of disappointment with people and institutions who manage the river, but no anger at the river itself. The Mississippi evokes a mix of emotions. During slavery in America, people sometimes hid on steamboats headed north. They jump in the water near Illinois and try to escape to freedom. For other enslaved people, the Mississippi must have been associated with a fear of being sold down the river. Poet Langston Hughes says that history was on his mind in 1920 as he was traveling on a train near St. Louis. He crossed over the Mississippi and wrote his poem, The Negro Speaks of Rivers. Here it is, read by Yolanda Wisher.
I've known rivers. I've known rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood and human veins. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. I bathed in the Euphrates when dawns were young. I built my hut near the Congo, and it lulled me to sleep. I looked upon the Nile and raised the pyramids above it. I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans, and I've seen its muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset. I've known rivers. ancient, dusky rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers.
That's Yolanda Wisher, Philadelphia's poet laureate, reading The Negro Speaks of Rivers by Langston Hughes.